First Chronicles chapter 15, beginning at verse 27. And I'm going to read as far as chapter 16, verse 10, and then skip farther ahead. This is going to be one of those sermons where it would be good to keep the Bible open in front of you as we look at different passages through 1 and 2 Chronicles. So 1 Chronicles reading from 15:27. Please give your attention to the Word of God. The occasion here is that David and all Israel are bringing the Ark of the Covenant up into Jerusalem for the second time. So beginning at verse 27. David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, as also were all the Levites who were carrying the Ark, and the singers, and Chenaiah, the leader of the music of the singers. And David wore a linen ephod. So all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouting, to the sound of the horn, trumpets, and cymbals, and made loud music on harps and lyres. And as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David dancing and rejoicing, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the Ark of God and set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord and distributed to all Israel, both men and women, to each a loaf of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the Ark of the Lord to invoke, to thank, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph was the chief, and second to him were Zechariah, Jael, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaiah, Obed-Edom, and Jael, who were to play harps and lyres, Asaph, who was to sound the cymbals, and Benaiah and Jaziel, the priests, were to blow trumpets regularly before the Ark of the Covenant of God. Then on that day, David first appointed that thanksgiving be sung to the Lord by Asaph and his brothers. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Let us jump ahead to verse 35. Say also, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather and deliver us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. So David left Asaph and his brothers there before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to minister regularly before the Ark as each day required, and also Obed-Edom and his 68 brothers, while Obed-Edom, the son of Jeduthun, and Hosah were to be gatekeepers. And he left Zadok the priest and his brothers the priests before the tabernacle of the Lord in the high place that was at Gibeon, to offer burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of burnt offerings regularly morning and evening, to do all that is written in the law of the Lord that he commanded Israel. With them were Heman and Jeduthun and the rest of those chosen and expressly named to give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. Heman and Jeduthun had trumpets and cymbals for the music and instruments for sacred song. The sons of Jeduthun were appointed to the gate. Then all the people departed, each to his house, and David went home to bless his household. We're doing a series on worship. And we started by talking about the importance of worship for the church. As we gather in worship, we are seen to be God's people, separate from the world, gathered before him in his presence. Worship is not to be like the rest of the week or the rest of the world. It is when God's people gather separately before him. And we meet before him on the basis of his salvation. We can only come before God because of our Lord Jesus Christ and the grace that is in him. And so as we meet before him, it's on the basis of covenant, and therefore the worship service is a dialogue between God and his people. And as we said, according to the nature of the case, God has to tell us what he wants in worship. As you must learn from the king what the etiquette for his court is, as you must learn from your beloved what she wants, so from the Lord we must find out what it is that he wants in the worship service. And so 2 weeks ago we began to drill down and say, okay, if everything we do in worship, if each part of worship is to be authorized by God, did God authorize that we read and preach and hear his word? We said that was easy to show, yes. This week we're going to talk about music. Where in the Bible did God say that there ought to be music in his regular worship? And what else did he say about it? And I must say, I learned a lot this week, because there's a lot in this book of Chronicles, more than we've read so far, about music in ancient Israel's worship. Now, this is going to have to be at least a two-part series. Today we'll do the Old Testament, and next week we'll do the New Testament. So as you look at the Bible and you say, okay, where is there music in the Bible? You see, music existed in Israel's life for a long time before it got into the worship service. You see, music, as soon as they came out of the Red Sea and God made the Red Sea drown their enemies, what did they do? They had a party with music, right? And they sang to the Lord, he has thrown the horse and his rider into the sea. So we see music as part of national victory and celebration. You see that again. Right? So after they defeat Hazor for the second time in Judges, there is a song there. And you see that again when David was a general under King Saul. And they went out to battle and they won. They come back and the women are greeting them. And they're saying, when it was not wise politically, but they're saying Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. So that's one major use of music you see in the Bible, is after a victory, the men come back from the battle and the women greet them with song. Okay? Music for national victory. You also see music used to teach, as indeed it still is today. So Moses, in Deuteronomy 32, there's a song that he taught the people. He said, you're going to forget, so I'm going to teach you this song. I'm going to do everything I can to make you remember. And he knew that you remember stuff that you set to music. So you find there a song. And David, before this occasion here, when Saul and Jonathan died, he made a song to lament them, and he said, let everybody learn this song to lament Saul and Jonathan. So you see music as an educational thing. And we know it was used at court, for David was Saul's first music therapist. Right? When Saul was grieved in spirit, David would be there playing and singing to calm him down and soothe his spirit. And that wasn't just a Saul thing. Later in David's life, after a rebellion, and he's coming back, and he wants to invite the rich old guy who's been supporting him. The rich old guy says to him, I don't need to come up to your court. Can I hear the sound of a singer? Therefore, assuming that hearing singing is part of the pleasures of court, he's saying, I can't enjoy that. Take my grandson. So you see music as a pleasure at court, as an educational tool, as a way to celebrate victory. But in terms of regular worship, you see it at the golden calf. When Moses and Joshua are coming down the mountain and hear an uproar, Moses says, it's the sound of singing that I hear. So oddly enough, you first get music in a regular, I'm not sure if that's a regular worship service, but anyway, it's at the golden calf. So where did God say that there should be music in his regular worship service? Well, in chapter 16, verse 7 of what we just read. Then on that day, David first appointed that thanksgiving be sung to the Lord by Asaph and his brothers. It was King David that appointed that music should be part of God's worship. And the whole context says, and David was right to do it. There is not the note of judgment or criticism here in Chronicles. This is how it was, and we should be thankful to God for it. Then, of course, you get the whole book of Psalms, which are written by David and the other people mentioned in these chapters. So we get the sense that this is the beginning of something good. Music, it begins in God's worship, as King David in the previous chapter arranged to bring up the ark. And having failed the first time, they studied the law carefully, and they figured out how the ark was to be carried and who was to carry it. And then he appointed this band to play. We could have started our reading further back. Look at chapter 15, verse 16 and 17. David also commanded the chiefs of the Levites to appoint their brothers as the singers who should play loudly on musical instruments, on harps and lyres and cymbals to raise sounds of joy. So the Levites appointed Heman, son of Joel, and of his brothers Asaph, the son of Berechiah, and of the sons of Merari, and so on. And you notice there, again, in verse 19, the singers, Heman, Asaph, and Ethan, were to sound bronze cymbals, and others were to play harps, and so on. As you go on, verse 22, interesting, Shaniah, leader of the Levites in music, should direct the music, for he understood it. Useful for the one who would direct the music. So you have a whole parade with carefully directed music. The king has given the orders. The Levites are figuring out who can carry it out. And then in chapter 16, after the parade is successfully brought to its conclusion, the Ark of God is in this new tent that's placed for it, David appointed musicians to serve continuously at Israel's two worship centers. And it takes a little careful reading to catch that for a while there were two worship centers. You see there in verse 37 compared to verse 39, chapter 16. So David left Asaph and his brothers there before the Ark of the Covenant to minister regularly before the Ark. And Asaph, of course, is this chief musician. That's what Asaph will be doing, is the music. And then at verse 39, he left Zadok the priest and his brothers before the tabernacle in the high place that was at Gibeon. Okay, so you have the Ark in Jerusalem, and then you have still the rest of the tabernacle. Okay, the Ark had been taken out of the tabernacle a century before. You have the Ark in Jerusalem, and Asaph and music going on there, and you have the rest of the tabernacle in Gibeon, and he appoints the other musicians, Heman and Jeduthun and so on, to give music there in that place. So David first appointed that there should be music, first for the special case of a parade, and secondly permanently in these two centers. Now in the next chapter, David thinks, why is the Ark of God in a tent and I'm in a palace? He says, surely the Ark of God should be, and he doesn't think of the tabernacle. He thinks of a new structure, a temple that he will build. And God says to him, actually, you won't build that temple because the more profound point is I build your house. But your son may build me a temple. And Chronicles makes clear that David honors that, but he also goes as far as he can to make sure that temple gets built. It comes through a lot more in Chronicles than in Samuel and Kings. And if you go flipping ahead, you see in 1 Chronicles 22, David prepares for temple building, and that goes on for about 9 chapters. It's a long series. Okay? David gets workers lined up. David charges his son to do it. He organizes the Levites. He organizes the priests. Chapter 25, he organizes the musicians. He organizes the gatekeepers. Skipping on ahead, he gathers the whole nation together, chapter 29, and says, you guys know you have to build this thing. And so he does all that he can to make sure that the temple is built. And so, of course, the beginning of 2 Chronicles, Solomon gets the temple built. And in chapter 5, when the temple is built, what happens? Well, they bring the ark into the new temple and they play music. And so you see there in 2 Chronicles 5, verses 12 and 13, all the Levitical singers, Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun, their sons and kinsmen, with cymbals, harps, and lyres, stood east of the altar with 120 priests who were trumpeters. And it was the duty of the trumpeters and singers to make themselves heard in unison in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. You see that. And they also had music then as they offered an amazing number of sacrifices in chapter 7, verse 6. The priests stood at their posts, the Levites also, with the instruments for music that King David had made for giving thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. Whenever David offered praises by their ministry, opposite them the priests stood, sounded trumpets, and all Israel stood. Notice they'd stand up for the music. So when did God command there to be music in his worship? He did it through David, first at two worship centers, and then they were eventually brought together as one new worship center in the temple in Jerusalem. There were certain Levites who were appointed to it, and then their descendants after them. Right? So it's Asaph, and then the descendants of Asaph. Right? The sons of Korah. Korah is one of the ancestors of Heman, who's mentioned there. And so Heman and Ethan, and then the sons of Korah are their descendants. Okay, notice how it had said some people were expressly named to this job, and there were certain instruments that they were to use. Now, as you look on through Chronicles, you discover that temple music, interestingly, played a key role in various national restorations and revivals. There's a time in 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, when under King Jehoshaphat, they suddenly heard the enemy was coming, and they were not ready. They were not prepared for this attack. And so they go into the temple, and they're praying to the Lord, and one of the singers, it says a son of Asaph, was filled with the Spirit and prophesied and said, do not fear, God will give us the victory. And they go out to fight, singing as they go. And as they sing, God makes this coalition of enemies begin to fight each other. And all they have to do is mop up. Take home the spoil, and they come back again singing. when the usurper Athaliah reigned, and the last son of David was hidden away in the temple. When he got big enough, the priest was ready to anoint him and start the counter-revolution. He got everybody together in the temple. They made a covenant. He brought out the king. They anointed the king. They start in with the music. It's the music that brought Athaliah in to say, "What's all this racket?" Which was great for them. They grabbed Athaliah and put her to death. You get the most detail with King Hezekiah when he restored temple worship in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. They say the sons of Asaph and Heman were among those doing the restoration. Now when it says sons here, it means like great-great-grandsons by now. You're a ways down in history. These are not the sons immediately. And it says that Hezekiah was very particular about getting the music right. And notice 2 Chronicles 29, verse 25. "And he stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres, according to the commandment of David, and of Gad the king's seer, and of Nathan the prophet. For the commandment was from the Lord through his prophets. The Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets." Then Hezekiah commanded that the burnt offering be offered on the altar. "And when the burnt offering began, the songs of the Lord began also, and the trumpets, accompanied by the instruments of David, king of Israel." This is 2 Chronicles 29, beginning at verse 28. "The whole assembly worshipped, the singers sang, the trumpeters sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. When the offering was finished, the king and all present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. And Hezekiah, the king, and the officials commanded the Levites to sing praises to the Lord with the words of David and Asaph, the singer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed down and worshipped." Notice it's very particular there. As Hezekiah restores worship, he restores music. How do they do music? Not however they want. They do music according to the command of David and Gad. They use the words of David and Asaph. The instruments are going with the sacrifices, and then they bow down and worship. And that wasn't the last time. In the next chapter, it says, "Then Hezekiah made sure that they kept the Passover." And as part of keeping the Passover again, they hear about the music again. At the last revival before the exile, King Josiah restores the worship. What does that involve? That involves restoring the music as well. So 2 Chronicles chapter 35. You have there in chapter 35 at verse 15. "The singers, the sons of Asaph, were in their place according to the command of David and Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun the king's seer. And the gatekeepers were at each gate." And then after the exile, as the people return, the singers form their own group. So you get a census count in Ezra 2, and the census count goes through the priests and the Levites, and it includes the singers as their own group. There's a certain number of the sons of Asaph who were counted. And when they laid the foundation stone to start building a new temple, they set up the musicians and had them play in celebration as they began. That was the famous time when the young people were happy because they were starting something new, and the old people were sad because the new temple wasn't going to be as good as the old one. And there's this famous, hard to figure out what's going on, because you hear happy music and you hear weeping at the same time. And so Nehemiah labored to ensure that the temple was supported enough that they would have sacrifices and the singers going on. And again, they were careful to do as commanded. And you see that in Nehemiah chapter 12, verses 45 and 47. We get the same kinds of words as before about being careful to do all according to what was commanded by David and so on. So chapter 12. "They performed the service of their God, as did the singers and the gatekeepers, according to the command of David and his son Solomon. For long ago, in the days of David and Asaph, there were directors of the singers, and there were songs of praise and thanksgiving to God." So did God say there should be music in regular worship? Yes. In multiple places throughout Chronicles, David is the key person. He's the king. He starts the dynasty, and he brings the music in to the worship service. And the faithful restorers of God's worship thereafter were careful to do as David and his first generation of musicians had directed. So the Holy Spirit notes this role of the temple and the music and the musicians in the times of the Bible. Now, it is time for an obvious objection. You see, that was interesting. Not more about music in there than I thought, but that doesn't sound like what we do. That sounds more like a megachurch. You got the band up front, making a whole lot of music to stir people up. You have the professionals there doing the singing and the trumpet blowing, and it's not clear if everybody else is what they're doing. So, what's the point? The answer is, we haven't gotten to the New Testament yet. We're giving you background here. We're showing you what's going on throughout the Bible. You already know it's not going to be the same as this because the music was playing as what else was happening? As animals are getting killed and burned, all right? As sacrifices were going on. So you already know we're not doing the same thing. I want to point out a couple interesting things in this obviously different musical setting in the Old Testament. It's not what we do here, and it's not like a megachurch either. When the megachurch needs musicians, they have one question. Are you a good musician? The temple had one question, but it was a different question. Are you descended from Asaph or Heman? It's a different question. And it's very interesting. After Josiah died, 2 Chronicles 35, it says the singers sang laments for him. They sing those laments to this day. They made it a rule in Israel. They are written in the laments. And I did a word search in the Psalms. There's not one psalm that mentions Josiah. It says that they write all these laments for King Josiah, but he's not named in the book of Psalms. The people who are named in the book of Psalms as the authors, who are the authors of Psalms? King David writes a lot of them. His son Solomon writes two of them. Moses, they preserve one of his. And all the rest of the authors named in the Psalms are these musicians that we were reading about. Asaph, the sons of Korah, which is a group. And then you get Heman and Ethan named, and those are people named here in Chronicles. Some Psalms are anonymous. But every time you know the author's name, it's one of these people authorized by David and his generation to be the musicians. So even in the temple, it was carefully regulated and restricted. They were not free to make it up. As they tried to revive things, they would go back to what David and Asaph had directed. Now, to explain why we do what we do, I'm going to have to come back next week. But now let's go back to 1 Chronicles 16 with a different question. If you look at 1 Chronicles 16 and ask this question, then we get something different. How should we sing? How should we sing? Look at verse 7. On that day, David first appointed that thanksgiving be sung. And as you go on then to verse 8, 9, and 10, it gives you words of thanksgiving. Now in ancient Israel, they first sang after victory. And we have a victory to sing about. Jesus has defeated death for our sakes. We have a victory to sing about. And so we come and we sing thanks to the Lord. And we sing as our own response. Notice at the end of the psalm, it says in verse 36, then all the people said amen and praised the Lord. It's not clear what form their praise all took, but everyone was involved. So we are to praise the Lord all together. If you go back and look at this psalm, the first chunk is Psalm 105. The next chunk is Psalm 96. The last little bit is from Psalm 106. So this song you have in 1 Chronicles 16 is a mashup of parts of three psalms that you can find later on. You can flip back and forth and see, oh yeah, that sounds really familiar. That sounds like what we just sang at the beginning here. As you look at this song, the points made are that we should remember God's choice, His covenant, His salvation. Notice that in verse 13, O offspring of Israel, his servants, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. Remember his covenant forever, the covenant he made with Abraham, his promise to Isaac, which he confirmed in the statute to Jacob, and the everlasting covenant to Israel. We come before God on the basis of his covenant. We are to remember it. We are to sing about it. And then we're to remember how he kept his covenant. Notice the history that goes on, verses 19 to 22. When you were few in number, of little account, sojourning, wandering from nation to nation, he allowed no one to oppress Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're to sing and remember what God has done. That is history. And we're to sing with love for our Creator and love for His creation. Verses 30 to 33. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and everything that fills it. And notice at the end, we're to include our prayers and our longing. At the end, it says, "Save us, O God of our salvation. Gather and deliver us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name." That then becomes the prayer of an outcast country. So we include our prayers and longings in our singing as well. Most of all, of course, we are to hallow his name. The first command in the first prayer in the Lord's Prayer, you notice that in verse 28 and 29, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. So as we talk about where did God command music to be in the worship of God, we decided to cover the Old Testament first, where the scene is somewhat different, but we see the importance of David and Asaph and these other musicians. We see how it was centered in the temple and associated with the sacrifice, and we see the singing is to be with thanksgiving in the heart. We'll consider more of it next week. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for music, which is good in so many different times and emotions and situations. We thank you for music that is good when there's a victory. We thank you for music that is good when there is a loss, a defeat, a time to lament. We thank you that music helps us to learn and to remember. We thank you that music helps to soothe our souls. And we thank you that we can use this music to praise you. So help us, Lord, as a church, to sing with grace in our heart, giving praise and thanks to you. We thank you for how you have blessed us in this and helped us to be able to sing together. And we pray this in Jesus' name.